intelligence to create the life, relationship, and business of your dreams? I've spent over a decade studying, speaking, and coaching on emotional intelligence, and in this podcast, I share the exact principles and strategies my clients have used to earn seven-figure incomes, heal their relationships, get engaged after years of failed relationships, and step into their authentic power to become the leaders they came here to be. Let's do this. Welcome to episode 223 of the Marcia Miyake Show. So ordinarily, the odd numbers of the podcast would be the That's What He Said segment with Dan. However, Dan did some deep work this weekend and he actually doesn't have a voice. So it was fitting, actually, that I do a solo episode where I just give you a little bit of a life update and also some lessons that may be applicable for you during this very transitional period of time for me and my family. So if you're not following me on social media at Marcia Miyake, go ahead and follow me there. I do share more of my day-to-day life in there, but I do like to do more of a deep dive on this longer form platform of a podcast. So thank you for being here. I appreciate you so much. If you haven't rated and left a review for this podcast wherever you listen to this, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please do that. It would mean the absolute world for me, and you have no idea what that actually does for a podcast. The more ratings and reviews that we get, the more that those platforms will push out our content to new listeners. And I know that this information and the content that I share on this podcast would be so valuable to more people. So that's one way that you can pay it forward. And obviously this is a free service that I offer because it's a way for me to connect with you guys and to give you nuggets of wisdom without you necessarily being in one of my courses. So let's jump right in. What are these life lessons that I'm talking about and a life update? Well, if you've been following me for a while, you know that my mom has been quite unwell for many years. And she initially became unwell in 2014 after she retired, literally months right after. I was in the UK. I was living there at the time. And I got a call from my sister saying, "Mom's had a horrible accident. You need to come home immediately." And I got trapped in Qatar for a couple of days on my way back. And basically, my mom went through very challenging medical things. So she initially had a heart attack, a seizure, and a stroke. I don't even know how this would happen. And basically, my mom went from fully functioning, my rock. And when I say my rock, I used to tell my mom everything. She really was my best friend. My sister would joke about how it's inappropriate the level of things that I would tell my mom. She really was my best friend. I'm an old soul. She's an old soul. And we just had this thing. We had a lot of conflict growing up because I was the rebellious one. But in my adult life, I really leaned on her. I lived with her for years in my adult life, even though I could have got my own place, but we just had such a great relationship. It just worked. So anyway, that transition for me was extremely traumatizing because it brought up old triggers from my adoption, abandonment wounds, all of that. And I went through all of the cycles of grief where I was angry and I was like, I wanted to shake her and just bring back my old mom. I was angry that she didn't look after herself more. And then I would feel sorry for myself. And then I would feel immense guilt for not being there for her more. And this was now almost a 10-year period of that. And throughout the years, things would happen and she would, you know, really deteriorate even farther. She had advanced stages of dementia and it was very challenging for our family to navigate, namely my sister and I, because we are her only family. And so we journeyed this together. And when COVID happened and she went into lockdown and we weren't able to see her in the nursing home, that it got worse. And it was very challenging to go and see her where she would be questioning because she was so confused. Like, why can't you come in? Why can't you come in? And it was heartbreaking. So I guess why I'm sharing this is to explain how this was a progressive trauma and healing. What I mean by that is this was a challenge that my sister and I navigated for years. And when something else would happen with her and we'd feel like, oh my gosh, are we going to lose her? It would just bring up those wounds. And so she, during the COVID times, we chose not to have her take the COVID vaccine because my mom would have not wanted to take it. Okay. And then at the same time, we thought, oh my gosh, if she catches COVID because she's in a nursing home, like, you know, what the doctors were saying about like, you could die. This, you need to take this vaccine for your elderly, like grandma, and you're killing grandma. Like, I literally was like, okay, if mom catches COVID, like, we're done. And she's in a nursing home and I can't even hold her. So there's so much fear that happened around that period. And then she got COVID and we thought that was the end, but it wasn't. And she got COVID several times during the times that she was living in the nursing home. And so, like I said, things would happen where we were like, this is it. And it was almost like we would brace ourselves and we would sit there and like cry in each other's arms and be like, I got you, I got you. And we would hold each other strong. And at this point, we also had little children we are now looking after. And so we had to keep it together. And then June of 2023, so last year, she fell out of her bed at the nursing home and we're like, she got rushed to the emergency. And like every time she would get rushed to the emergency because she was so frail, we were like, okay, this is it. We'd always brace ourselves. And so because she fell out of bed onto basically tiles, we're like, this is it. Like her body's not going to be able to take it. And yet somehow she was able to survive. And I say survive and not like she was better is because from that specific accident, she became nonverbal. So she went from being very confused, not knowing who we are, sometimes very agitated, sometimes very happy and singing, to nonverbal. And that was another really hard transition at that period. And then I got married earlier this year and she was not able to attend due to being bedridden. And it was, you know, it was a beautiful time. And it was also very hard to think about my mom in not being able to be there. And then Valentine's Day. So I got married February 8th, Valentine's Day. She has another accident. And we're rushed to emergency again. And there we are, D and I holding each other again, thinking, is this it? Like, are we going to lose mom now? And so I'm sharing this to give you context around how long of a journey this has been, how up and down it has been. And to be honest, my mom, when this time we were called in and they told us she was not well, we knew that she was not well. It was evident. And it was clear that it was worse than before. But at the same time, because we had been through this so many times, we were like, she survived so much. Like she might be okay from this. And so I don't think anything really ever prepares you. Even when your parents are unwell or your loved one is unwell, nothing prepares you for the loss of them. So I'm not going to go into her passing, specifically the details. I was present. She didn't die alone. She was with me and I was talking in her ear as she took her last breath. And I'm going to leave it there on that front just because this is still very raw for me. We're talking, it's only been days since this has happened. And the reason that I'm sharing with you is more to get the lessons from a different part of this story. And also to kind of explain how things happened in the sequence. So Dan was supposed to be home this weekend and he went on this trip that I wanted him to go on. I wanted him to do this men's work. I knew it was going to be extremely healing for him. And it just so happens my mom passes that weekend. It just so happens my sister's husband is also not here when he usually would be here. And so Dee and I were like, you know what? This was divine timing. We are supposed to navigate this together, the two of us, without the physical support of our husbands in this time. And like when I say Dan wasn't here, I wasn't able to text him because he was completely off grid. He wasn't allowed to have his phone. This was like some deep stuff he was doing. And so I didn't get to see him until like almost 2 days later after this happened. And we text each other and call each other all the time, whether he's away for work or not. So when that happened, I was like, okay, so this was divine timing. And again, I think I'm going to explore that in a different podcast in the terms of why I think this was like a handover from my mom. This was like so divine in so many ways. And so there's a lot of mixed emotions here. So in one way, I just want my mom back. I don't think you ever outgrow, if you've had a good relationship with your parent, I don't think you ever outgrow, especially your mommy. Like, it's just something about my mommy, and I just want her, and I just want to hold her, and I just want to smell her, and nothing can prepare you for that, for the loss of a parent. And then at the same time, you know, it's bringing up all these, again, abandonment wounds. Like, I know my mom didn't choose to go in that second, but I felt alone, and I had to face that aloneness because I was in the room alone with her as she passed, fully realizing that Dan wasn't there to hold me and that I had to really be there present for myself. It brought up trauma from my adoption of the abandonment wound. And I know this stems very deep. And so while I've done a lot of healing work around this, you don't ever fully heal per se, whereas you get more awareness and you're able to, the key really is to be able to self-soothe when you are triggered, not to never be triggered again, because you're human and you're going to be triggered. So the way that it all happened was the way that it was supposed to happen so that I could be there for myself and have my own back. And another surreal kind of aspect about this whole thing was that when you lose someone so significant in your life, the most significant parental figure of my life, you get this sense of, or at least for me, I got this sense of, I want to be very deliberate about my life. I want to be very conscious about what I'm doing and who I'm with and what I'm pursuing. And it's interesting because only maybe a couple of weeks before this, I started really reading High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard. I've had this book for years and years and years, and I've kind of skimmed through it, read here and there, but it never grabbed me in this way. And something pulled me towards this book a couple weeks ago, and I have been like devouring. And when I say devouring, when I read, like, I'm like underlining, I'm really reflecting on things. It's the first thing I do in the morning. And it has been a long time since I've really read like that. And if you've been following the podcast for a while, one of my things for New Year's was to read like I used to. So I used to read like a crazy person. And I really wanted to pick up that habit again. So in my reading, one of the keys of the high performance habits or the high performance characteristics was having clarity, like really choosing what it is you want to do. And it was just so, you know, synchronistic that I was reading what I was reading and how applicable it was to my life now. So like this morning, before I did anything, I drink water and then I pull up my book and I start reading and I'm like underlining and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, like I was guided to this now. And now I've just got so clear about what it is that I need to do. And then it also really highlighted how much I have evolved over the years. Because when I look at myself 10 years ago, if my mom had passed when she had that initial accident, I would be coping with things so much differently, because then I was a workaholic. I was a boss babe. I was independent woman. All of this crap that we've been brainwashed to, you know, aspire to be as a woman, like your value comes down to your economic contribution, like all this absolute BS stuff that pulls us away from our innate worth. And I believe that I would have coped with my mom's passing in a way of like delving harder into work. Whereas now, because of how much I have consciously changed, I am like, there is nothing, number one, there's nothing that says you need to grieve in a certain way. And there's nothing that says that if I decide to be happy and like really take care of myself, that that's somehow not mourning my mom. And in fact, that my mom, all she ever wanted while she was walking this planet was for me and my sister to be the happiest, most fulfilled, most expansive, adventurous women ever. That was her goal for us. So my ode to my mom is like, you know what? I'm going to take such good care of myself right now. Like I've been going to the gym. I'm, you know, like just really in my soft girl era. Because guess what? Your soft girl era is your natural state. And I don't feel guilty about not working right now. And I don't feel like I'm just like, you know what? I really need to slow down. Because when I'm in work mode, and I mean like hustle mode, there's no room for emotion. Whereas because I've been creating so much extra space and time for myself, like Dan and I just went for lunch and I'm just putting down the phone a lot more. Like I'm not on my phone nearly as much as I was before. I want to create space because the only way I'm going to feel what I need to feel is by having silence. And I, in the shower, one of my practices that I do is I always talk to God in the shower. I'm always like, I imagine that the water is like abundance flowing over me. And I thank God, like every shower I'm in there, I'm like, thank you, Heavenly Father, for all my blessings. Thank you for my healthy, vibrant body. Thank you for my beautiful children, my incredible husband, my beautiful home, my beautiful car. Thank you for my friends and my business and the abundance. Like, and so I do that, and I do that throughout the day as well. I'm going to go on a tangent for a second, but it's one of my ways that I pattern interrupt and I redirect my focus is like, for example, you know, when you like go to wash your dishes and your kids have been difficult and you just like, oh my God, you look at this big pile of dishes of the dinner that they didn't appreciate. And you're just like, ugh, and you don't, I don't know anyone that's like, yes, I get to wash dishes. But I look down at my dishes and I immediately go into prayer and I'm like, thank you, Heavenly Father, that I have these beautiful, healthy, energetic babies that, you know, are always keeping me busy. And thank you, Father, that I have enough food to feed them every single day. Thank you for these beautiful dishes. Thank you for this clean water that I have access to. Thank you that I get to do this for my babies. So I do that to switch my from like, oh, I have to do this to I get to do this. Like what a privilege, right? If we know anything that's happening in the world right now, we know there are mothers that are burying their children and has nothing, they've done nothing except be born in the wrong place at the wrong time. So let's remember, I just remind myself to remember my privilege, that like the fact that my kids can give me attitude and the fact that my kids cannot like their dinner, like what a blessing. So anyway, I digress from my initial point, which was I talk to God. I talk to God a lot during the day. And one of the things, because I feel like I've allowed myself to slow down and because I've put down the technology and because I have not gone into work, you know, work mode per se, is that now I create space for my emotions to come up. And sometimes they're good emotions and sometimes they're sad. And sometimes I really just reflect on the amazing memories of my mom. And sometimes I just really miss her and I just wish she was here. And then sometimes I'm sad because I wish her, the end of her life didn't have to be like that. And then I feel really grateful that she was in my arms when she passed. So it just creates more space. But what has also allowed to happen is that now I also talk to my mom. And that wasn't a conscious thing. It just came automatic. So I'm in the shower and I'm like, thank you, Heavenly Father. Da, da, da. And I go into my thing like I was just explaining. And then I'm like, I love you, Mommy. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I love you, Mommy. Like you are accessible to me. Like, you are all around me. Like, you've gone back into heaven, and therefore your spirit is living on forever. And you are still guiding me, and you are still with me, except now there isn't that resistance around you being so unwell, and you suffering, and you being in pain, and me worrying about you in the nursing home every night. Are you okay? There's none of that, because I know you're in heaven, and I know you're in where you're supposed to be. You've returned home. And so now you're accessible to me in a way that you never were in your physical form. And I can tap into your wisdom. And oh my gosh, it has been a game changer for me. So I'm laying in bed, and it hits me. I have always had a Heavenly Father, and I really leaned on the concept of Heavenly Father, as in that's God, He's my Heavenly Father, because I never had a father. And I always thought to myself, what a blessing that I have a Heavenly Father, because my Heavenly Father is perfect, whereas the human 3D experience of a father is human, and he's going to make mistakes, and he's going to hurt me accidentally, and, you know, he's going to be selfish at times, etc., like, because we're human. But now, you know, I had this Heavenly Father who's just always there for me, and all he could give me was love, and all that he could give me was wisdom and depth and everything that I sought out for. And then it hit me when I was laying in bed. I'm like, oh, I've always had a Heavenly Father, and now I have a Heavenly Mother. That she's here with me and accessible to me, and that, you know, I'm not telling anybody how to grieve. How you grieve is really your own journey. And I think it's really easy to judge people of like, oh, she should be grateful, or she should be more sad, or whatever. And I'm doing my best to not even judge myself through this process of like, should I be feeling differently, and just really being with what I need to be with. But really, I'm right now anyway, as of today, I am very much in a state of gratitude that I have access to my mom, and she's no longer suffering, and that I'm so grateful for the work that I have done on myself to get me to the point where I'm not buffering, right? And I'm not avoiding my emotions by going into work further or feeling guilty for feeling pleasure, because that's our natural state, and we should. And I have heard before people feeling guilty, like, I shouldn't feel joy because I've just lost my loved one. Well, your loved one, all they want is for you to feel joy. Of course, not forcing joy because that's what they want. But if your desire is to feel joy in this moment, you should do that and know that this is not some kind of betrayal against the loss of your loved one, but that that's exactly what your loved one wants. Your loved one does not want you to suffer in any way. So I guess my biggest lesson amongst just navigating this grief is that I'm in a state of trusting that I have done enough and that I am enough. And this stems from actually my work. So me 10 years ago, I would have gone so hard into work because I don't want to lose momentum, and I don't want and like all of the things, right? Because I proved myself and my worth through my work. That's how I was. Whereas now I'm like, okay, I have these businesses. I trust that I have enough in my emotional bank account, my psychological bank account, and all of my bank accounts in relation to my clients, that they're not feeling like I'm dropping off. And then also that I have done enough to empower my team that they are able to step into their leadership and run the business while I am stepping away for a couple of days. And that when me stepping away doesn't mean that I need to be in immense grief and like that's the only justification for stepping away, but that I get to actually clear my calendar and just like be in a state of being and not having any expectation of myself. And I was saying to Dan, I'm like, I don't know the last time I ever took a couple of days off. Like, truly, I don't remember the last time, because for me, I'm always on, and there's nothing wrong with that. Please understand, like, I'm not judging myself for always being on, because I really enjoy what I do, and half of the time it doesn't feel like work. But for in this instance, in honor of my mom, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to clear the calendar. I'm going to message my team members and ask them to step up and do these different things. And I'm going to trust that I have done enough for my coaching clients and that they understand that I'm going through a transition in my personal life. And that really is trusting that you have done enough and trusting that you are enough. And I think that was my biggest takeaway of today in sitting and enjoying this really beautiful lunch with Dan, that I'm like, yes, I am in a grieving process, but I'm honoring the joy as it comes. I'm more connected to my mom than when she was here, and that just being gentle with myself, truly being gentle with myself and having zero judgment. So I just wanted to give you guys an update of what was happening in my life, why we aren't to our normal programming of That's What He Said. But trust me, as soon as Dan gets his voice back, we will be dropping some juicy episodes because we do have some in the pipeline. And we will see you on the next episode of the Marcy and Yaki Show.